I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
.10:06 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. So, where's the callers today? I mean, we got a big weekend here. We got Astros in Oakland. We got the... Who are the Rockets playing next? I'm sure it's important. I'm sure it is.
Sure it is.
I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as they're playing well, they're playing well. Now, the Portland game notwithstanding, where they... You know what? That exposed... I mean, Portland's not a great team.
No,
but the rebounds caught up to them.
And Portland's different now. It's been said over and over again, but they're different with their best two bigs back. They're a different ball club now. And Gary Trent Jr. all of a sudden is a superstar. He's one of the bubble superstars. He's going to be on the all-bubble team. Gary Trent Jr. went for another 27 last night.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's been really good since they've gotten back. And you can point to it and say, hey, for some of these rookies, it's like they're really in their second season now because how many months they've had off. So if they were actually in the gym working on their game, it's like having a second year. But, yeah, to your point, outside of the Portland game, the Rockets have played really, really well. Had some really tough competition open the year. Portland was looked at as the easy game and didn't go that way. But they did catch a break. The Lakers don't care, and LeBron didn't play. But they took care of business in the second half. We're really starting from the jump. But, I don't know what it means going forward other than it's better than the alternative, which was how the last part of the season ended when they were playing so poorly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is hopefully a rejuvenated team. I mean, they had the one hiccup against Portland, and that was basically crunch time that they just got outplayed. But they were, you know, obviously in the game, and they got a little bit lucky against the Mavs, let's face it.
Yeah. I mean, the Mavs did what they normally do down the stretch. They played terribly, and then they got the tip-in layup off the missed free throw. At the standings right now, tied for fifth with the Jazz, a game and a half behind the Nuggets, who lost yesterday, who still don't have their guards. Jamal Murray hasn't played yet, I don't believe.
Tied for fourth?
Yeah, tied for fourth or fifth, however you want to call it, with the Jazz.
Yeah, they're
both,
right.
They're both fourth. A game and a half behind the Nuggets. Jamal Murray hasn't played, I don't believe. Will Barton still isn't available. And also Gary Harris, so their top three wing guys haven't played yet for the Nuggets, I believe. So, if that doesn't change, maybe they get to third. But I think you're probably looking at the Thunder only half a game back in six. So you're probably anywhere between fourth, fifth, and sixth how this is going to work out. And really the whole deal is let's not see the Clippers in round one. I don't care where you land. Just make sure you don't see the Clippers in round one.
No. No, that would be – no. They can't possibly face the Lakers. But, yeah, how many games up on there on seven? Yeah, the Mavs are way behind them.
The Mavs are 11.5. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. It's the Clippers in two.
Yeah,
as long as the Clippers don't fall to three, and they're only a game and a half behind the Nuggets, ahead of the Nuggets. But yeah, you're probably looking at some version of Nuggets, Rockets, or Jazz as far as the real battle and the Thunder for the playoffs. But as long as you stay in the 3-6 range, you'll be okay as far as your matchup. There are better matchups than others, but as long as the Clippers don't find their way into that particular battle, you'll be fine as far as feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I listen, they look pretty good. I'll tell you what. I bet a lot of teams are afraid to play the Rockets. They don't want that. Would you rather play the Rockets or the Jazz?
There are a couple things. The Jazz have had the issue with the Rockets are for other teams is they're so unconventional in the way they play. The Jazz have some talent certainly, but they play a relatively traditional brand of basketball, just like most teams.
Are you better off in a long series against the Rockets because of you can catch up to their unconventionality? Or is that something that will catch up to the Rockets? And you know, at any night Rockets can beat anybody or get beat by anybody.
Yeah, the Rockets, we know there's such a high variance in how they play, and a lot of that has to do with how their perimeter shots are falling. They're not a great perimeter shooting team, but free throws and threes are their deal. When the threes don't go down, it can get ugly for them, particularly if a team is slowing the ball down like the Blazers did. I think I'd rather play. See, I think talent wins out, and I'm talking about depth of talent. And there are some teams like the Thunder who aren't, their top two aren't as good as the Rockets, but if you go through their guys, I would probably want their top seven than before I want the Rockets' top seven. I think I would rather play the Rockets over a longer series.
Yeah. And yeah.
Because
it will catch up to the Rockets.
Because as long as you have a coach who's smart and players who are adaptable, you can find ways. Now, the James Russ thing, there's no way you're going to defend James and be able to shut him down throughout a series. But there are times where you can make him look more passive than he would want to be. And we know, until proven otherwise, you can probably point to a game and go, wow, James really didn't show up. And I'm not talking about a disaster like the Spurs or the 13 turnovers or whatever it is against the Warriors. I'm talking about a game where he just shoots poorly and he looks less aggressive. Those games pop up every now and again.
Yep.
So the high variance for the Rockets can be scary because of how high they can play. But I think I'd rather see them in a series, particularly if I have wings. If I have wings who can get out and defend, I think I would want to see them. Or the Jazz, because I don't have much faith in the Jazz.
Yeah, I don't have faith in them.
The Thunder I'd be scared of. They have as long as Chris Paul is healthy, they have a guy who understands. They have Danilo. They're top five I like a lot. Then you have Schroeder off the bench. I think his wife is either about to have a child or is going to have one when the playoffs start, so he's going to miss some time. He's already said he's not going to be there for it. He's going to leave and then come back, so that could affect them. Those are a couple teams like that. Schroeder's going to leave, and Gordon Hayward's going to leave when his wife has a child, and that's supposed to happen during the first round of the playoffs.
You know, they can always have another child.
They don't feel that way. Now, currently, it would be the Sixers that the Celtics would face. Now, Gordon Hayward's probably their fourth best player at this point, but he's still a starter.
Yeah. No, you need Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. The Sixers are, but the Sixers are going to be without Ben Simmons, it looks like. We didn't talk about that.
Yep.
So that's another thing that could affect the series. But yeah, I would say.
Some would say they're better.
Yeah, maybe. Embiid will be more of a focus. I would say, as far as the Rockets are concerned, give me the Jazz first, then the Nuggets. I don't want to see the Thunder from the Rockets.
Yep. No. The Thunder. I heard Joel and I think it was Joel and Nick and Charlie too. I think was Thunder least of the teams that you could possibly face in the first round. Thunder least, Nuggets next.
See, I think they feel comfortable with the Jazz
and the Jazz. Jazz would be the one you would want to face.
They may go bare.
Yeah,
mediocre. Even and though there's no Capella, it doesn't matter. They're gonna have a guy. They're gonna keep him out of the paint because of how they play. I think I like the Jazz the most as far as who I want to play first. If I'm the Rockets.
They don't have any problem with the Jazz.
Yeah.
All right, it's 10:14 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You want to get in? Let's talk about that college football coaches ranking when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, so What did you think of? I guess you have to put Clemson number one, right?
Yeah, and speaking of Clemson, is one of their top defensive ends won't play this year. Well, he'll miss quite a bit of the year. Xavier Thomas, he had COVID and strep, and Dabo said he's nowhere near ready to play football, so they expect him to miss quite a bit of the year. But he is planning on coming back. He's just not ready to go. So they lose one of their top defenders. But yeah, Clemson, although they're not going
to
have...
I guess we're getting closer to the season, although the ACC is starting later, right?
Well, it depends. It depends if you have an early early out-of-conference game. Miami's playing the 10th, but Clemson's game isn't even scheduled yet, but it's set for the 19th. They don't have an opponent yet. So
it's set for September 19th.
Yeah, and Clemson has... Their first ACC game will be the 12th. That second Saturday of September. So they're just over a month away for some teams. And, you know, Oklahoma's playing the 29th, so even less. So Justin Ross won't play. He's out for the year because of an injury, not COVID. So they are missing two top-level talents, but it's still the ACC.
Yeah. Come on.
I guess you can put them number one. I mean, I think Ohio State's probably better top-to-bottom talent-wise.
Until Justin Fields... I don't know. I'm not sure I trust him in the big games. But he probably learned something from last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was leading him down the field. The receiver, slipped or went the wrong way?
Threw the pick. He did not look good against Wisconsin.
Not in the first half. He was better in the second half.
He was better in the second half, but he also didn't look very good against Michigan.
He didn't. Didn't they put up a lot of points against Michigan?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he had.
Yeah, maybe you saw a lot of incompletion because he didn't. He was only 56%, 302, 4 TDs. And Michigan doesn't play Ohio State well. And we can get into that. Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh had a bad
early play. On, there was, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. He did throw a couple picks. Against Clemson, I mean. He threw a couple picks. The one that obviously ended the game, then he threw one earlier. I think Justin Fields, certainly he hasn't played.
He's talented.
He certainly just hasn't played a lot of football. That was his first year. I think he'll be fine because Ohio State will be fine. They're just going to out-talent everyone. And then we'll see what happens later in the year. I still think I would probably put Ohio State one. I think they're more talented top to bottom than Clemson. Clemson, they recruit. They'll be fine. But I like Ohio State more. Are they two or is Alabama two?
Ohio State's two, Alabama three, Georgia four, LSU five.
We've talked about that. That feels like
that just because
of what you did last year.
Yeah, congratulations.
If we look at your actual roster.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the word on Brennan for LSU people?
We know
he's not Joe, but
no, he's not Joe. We'll see though in this offense because they're going to continue to run the spread, and we'll see if he's not better off. He wasn't good in the pitch it and run up the middle in the pro style offense.
Not any quarterbacks were.
No, I mean it was just terrible. So you know we'll see if he can. He could sling it around. He was a top quarter a recruit coming out. You know, he just got caught up in a terrible offense, and then Joe Burrow came along.
Yeah. So I imagine he'll be okay. At least okay.
But all the talent that they lost. Now LSU reloads now.
Yeah, but 18 out of 22.
18 out of 22.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's a lot of guys, and Aranda, and Brady.
Yeah.
I mean,
your whole program. I mean, you got Ed at the top, but. Coach Ogeron at the top, but your whole program is pretty much new guys.
I'm going to tell you this. If they do win big this year, it'll be...
Did Ogeron get an extension already?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because if they win... Well, he should already have gotten one. National championships generally get you those. But if they're a great team again this year, just lock it up. Just give him whatever he wants.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a job he would have done. You know what? That's a lot of that is assistant coaches, and assistant coaches have left.
Well, if he hires, the question is, can he? Well, he got a 6-year extension, so he's not going to make another deal.
You know, he got Scott Linehan in there. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah,
I mean, Scott Linehan watches. Is Scott Linehan going to be a spread throw it around guy? We'll see.
Well, and we didn't get to see much of them in the spring to know what has changed or what hasn't changed because of COVID.
Yeah,
so we don't know.
Well, he said on. On the Blitz the other day, you know, we're still gonna figure it out.
Are we gonna go five wide and only five to protect?
But I'm sure Brady had a lot to do with the play calling as well. Although Ensminger was the guy calling the play, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean Scott Linehan has put up good offenses in the past.
Yeah, but he's been a pro coach mostly.
Yeah, so we'll see. He was with Dak in 2016. And that was a run based offense.
Mm-hmm.
They had their best season with Dak. We'll see. We'll see what happens to them. But the top five feels strong. That's all.
Oklahoma next.
Quarterback concerns. Well, not maybe not concerns, but they don't have a proven guy on the roster this year.
Penn State next. Florida. Oregon. Notre Dame. I'm telling you, y'all are sleeping on Oklahoma State. You're just sleeping on them. And that's good. Although, it ain't easy to get into the top four when you're not even... shoot, they got Oklahoma. They've got Texas. Oh, Oklahoma State's 16. So, they got some respect on them. So but they got them third in the big... Well, and it's probably where they belong. Because until they prove that they can beat Oklahoma and Texas... Yeah. On a regular basis, although they do beat Texas.
They just don't beat OU. Unless Tyreek Hill is returning a punt.
But this year, Oklahoma State and Texas is the last game of the year.
I know what you think that might decide.
I do.
Until you beat... Is that game in Norman or Stillwater?
In you mean Austin?
I'm talking about the Oklahoma-Oklahoma State game. Is that game in Norman?
I don't know.
Until you prove you can beat Oklahoma, I'm not... Well, either one, but Texas has had more success recently. But until Oklahoma State can go in there or win at home, I'm going to wait. I want to see it. Spencer Rattler, no, whoever the quarterback is, whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be him, right?
Yeah, I think so. Until the Cowboys figure that out and actually get it done, I'm not backing them to do anything.
They got Texas at home. They got at Oklahoma.
Oh, forget it.
But what's home field advantage going
to
be this year?
We'll find out. Because, I mean, in soccer, the home team still won, maybe not to the same percentage, but still won a good percentage of the games. Does that translate to football? We'll see. And I don't know what Oklahoma's – has Oklahoma made a decision about fans yet?
No, but somebody brought it up. Well, if the Skeeters can have 2,000, why can't there be any – At other pro stadiums?
No, because the Skeeters are off the radar, and then they won't get it. They won't really get a lot of attention if there's a alleged outbreak in Sugar Land.
Yeah, but we're seeing people at NASCAR races.
Yeah, and apparently there was an article that came out a couple days ago that there was a bit of an uptick in cases, but the article kind of tried to paint it as a NASCAR thing, at least the headline did, but then inside the article, since I read it, it goes, well, we can't really say if it came from NASCAR because there was an uptick in cases starting before then and it has continued in that part of the country. So they tried to make a tie-in, but then they didn't even really make the tie-in because they just said, hey, this entire area is having an issue. So
yeah.
I don't know. But you know what the perception would be. Oklahoma's, I don't know what they see. I know they're probably not 100,000. Maybe they are now. I'm not sure. But if they try to get 40,000, 30,000 in there, people are like, what are you doing? Even if they say, no, look, space outside, we've set it up where people don't come in at the same time and we make sure people don't leave at the same time, the public perception is going to be like, okay, you're a super spreader situation. You can't do that. We know Penn State has already said nope. And not that Pennsylvania is being crushed, but Pennsylvania said, and Penn State said, for public safety, we're not doing it. No fans. The Packers have said their first two games, no fans.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin's not necessarily a place. Well, Wisconsin likes the party.
For a while.
They like the party. Like, we see all those videos of Wisconsin people just hanging out and partying, college kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be – we're just not going to have fans until it seems socially acceptable. So you're right. Maybe home field means nothing this year. Although Texas and Oklahoma are going to play in the Cotton Bowl. So they're going to play in the Cotton Bowl with no people in it? What's the point of playing there if they're no... Well, you don't want to have a road game in that game, but you're going to... The whole thing is because that's a spectacle.
Yeah, right.
But you're going to have it there with no fans?
Well, apparently no. You're going to have 25%.
In the Cotton Bowl? Okay.
Yep. They're going to have... Hey, Texas is saying... The president said, we're doing 25% over here.
Yeah, I wonder how much say OU has. Like, if OU is all year long and said no fans because we want to keep everyone safe, would they have a say in a neutral side game? Considering they usually get half the tickets, I wonder. Who knows how it'll play out?
You know what those tickets are going to be worth? You get those tickets. You know what you can sell them for?
For when it's only
25%.
Quite a bit.
You know how many big time OU and Texas boosters are going to want to be at that game?
It's going to be a lot of the Richie Riches.
Yep.
I am interested to see for people who have, or for teams who have fans but at limited capacity, how much their tickets will go for. Like,
it will be
like if Ohio,
formidable.
Yeah, Penn State said no. Let's say Ohio State and Michigan, they say we're going to have fans, but we're only going to have 25% of them at the Horseshoe. I think it's in Columbus this year. Wherever. Big two giant stadiums, 100,000 people in terms of capacity. But we're only going to put 25,000 in there. How much would a ticket be worth? Particularly if those teams are really good.
A boatload. A boatload. 1028 ESPN 975 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776 to hang with us here on ESPN 975.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano-silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
1031 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We talked yesterday about the Texas Tech coach, Stallings. Marlene Stallings, she was running a program that wasn't, the players really didn't like her too much.
Uh-huh.
She had a trainer that had to resign amid some sexual tactics,
mm-hmm.
touching breasts and pelvic regions.
Hey, my groin, hey, my thigh hurts.
Yeah.
Touch your pelvis.
Well, this is where it's coming from right here.
No,
well,
no. It's my hamstring.
No. That's not it. She was fired.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what. We've never seen players empowered like they are now.
I'll ask you as a – you played at the college level, only got to high school, so it wasn't the high-pressure situation for coaches, and I don't remember my coaches being a-holes at all, to be honest with you. Is it simply coaches have always been this way, and now players are talking, or are players overreacting, do you think? I don't know where to stand on it.
No, it's always been this way.
Okay.
It's always been this way. Coaches are a-holes. They are. And they used to be able to get away with it. They used to be able to say the things that they say. And, you know, let's face it. They're football coaches. They're not curing COVID-19.
Some cases, basketball coaches or whatever. We see it in gymnastics. We see it in all the sports. Coaches are across all the sports like this, apparently.
We put them on pedestals because they win. They make a lot of money. They're famous. You know, they build up huge egos. I mean, even at the high school level, they build up egos because they're the man on campus.
And, yeah, coaches now like almost. Like doctor, like when you talk to a coach, like some of the coaches you know are your buddies, so you call them by the first name. But you watch a coach interview, it's not like we're joined by. It's like Coach Saban's here, it's Dr. Saban, not Nick.
Right.
It's Coach Ogeron. It's never just calling him Ed.
No.
Unless
a lot more money than doctors.
That's very true. Yeah. But unless they have a personal relationship, you refer to them as coach, as a title, and then their last name. I don't see Ed Ogeron just being called Ed by an interviewer. It's Coach Ogeron.
This shows a sign of respect.
Yeah, because you're like a doctor. You're Dr. Football.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've believed that, too, that we're so much more intelligent about, especially with the media. They're so condescending in a lot of cases.
Now, baseball is different. Wouldn't you just call him Dusty?
You call him Dusty.
Yeah, because he's not Coach Baker.
Skip. Call him Coach.
They like to be calling him manager. Or Skip, yeah.
Yeah. But and it's hard to call him manager.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right. So you just call him Dusty or Dirk. Skip.
We called him Dirk. We called him AJ.
Yeah, baseball's the ones that are different. Like,
yep.
And Pop, Coach, and like basketball coaches have like nicknames. You got Pop, even Spoelstra's called Coach Bo. Mike D'Antoni. Do they call him Coach D'Antoni or Mike?
I think they call him Coach.
Yeah, I think baseball is the one where you don't do it because coach isn't the thing they use.
Yeah.
But back to it. Yeah, Marlene Stallings, we detailed the abusive stuff, and they fired her last night. Texas Tech did.
Man, you want to talk about, I'm telling you, you better learn how to be nice now.
Or
you,
just respectful.
Well, right.
You don't even have to be, you don't have to be a person who's a player's coach per se, but you just can't be an a-hole.
Well, she ain't getting a job nowhere now.
No.
I mean, you get fired in a public situation like this,
not forget
where you're called out for you know, what an a-hole you are.
She might have to, she's probably going to start from the bottom again.
Yep. So
become a high school coach or a small school coach and see if it works out for you and try to build yourself back up.
It's a different world, that's for sure.
Can she become an assistant on someone's a major college staff and just kind of disappear? Maybe not this year, but maybe a couple years from now, she just pops up as an assistant.
Yeah, college. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure she has friends in the business that somebody will do. Hey, no. Well, she's not running it. We're going to. Don't worry. We'll keep her in check.
She knows what she did wrong, so on and so forth.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So an NFL coach thinks that there's going to be a death or maybe more.
Based on the numbers, I think that coach talked to doctors, and the doctors just say by the numbers, strictly by the numbers, and you compare it to how the country is handling it, that whether it be a player, a coach, staff, someone associated with an NFL team is going to die. Just the numbers say it's inevitable.
So, okay, so how many deaths do we have now?
And as far as the country is concerned?
Yeah.
I have to look.
What are we over? Over 150 million?
Not million.
I mean 150,000?
We might be around there now. I saw a projection that we should expect 300,000 by December. Let's see. Currently, we're at the country as a whole. This is only Houston. I'm not looking for Houston. I can't find a total number.
We passed 150,000 mark, didn't we?
I'm looking. But I saw, like I said, the projection for December is 300K. Oh, why does it just keep giving?
So it's one every we have a death every 2,200 people.
It topped 160,000.
160?
Yeah.
So about every 2,000 people. How many people are in the NFL?
Ooh,
80 well, times 30.
And you include staff and
80
executives.
Times 32.
Yeah,
maybe 100 times, well, even more.
Yeah, because this wasn't just about players. It was someone associated with the NFL is going to die, was the thought.
Maybe a couple of people will die.
I mean, just the numbers would state. Now, not everyone. Now, the NFL is going to treat it a lot differently than others. Like, there's testing for almost, I think, everyone in the organization. So, no one's going to be unaware of whether they have it or not. So, maybe that helps, too.
It will definitely help.
Yeah.
Plus, it's made up of mostly younger people.
That helps as well.
Because the majority of your workforce is younger, even in the front offices with the salespeople or whatnot. But there are plenty of older people there.
Some places, the rest of the country definitely won't have the level of distancing even amongst people in the building that a normal person has. Like even you watch how the NFL has these particular facilities have gone about distancing from each other. So I think there'll be more attention to detail with the NFL for everyone involved as opposed to the general population.
Yeah. No, it'll probably happen, but it'll probably happen in a front office more than likely. If it happens to a player, then it's going to be devastating for the league. Yeah. That's the problem.
I mean, the league would probably would try to say, hey, it didn't come from player-to-player contact. Through our contact tracing, we found out it came from here.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. If someone dies, it's going to be...
Right. And if it does happen, if an NFL player dies, that could shut down. Just like Rudy Gobert shut down all sports, that could be the impetus to shut down all of football.
For any sport that doesn't any have a bubble, maybe.
High school, college, pro.
It might even go to baseball. If it happens, now baseball could say, well, we're doing things differently. But if an NFL player gets it and dies...
Gobert shut down all sports.
Yeah, a lot of that had to do with we didn't really understand things. Now we've seen that it's not going to shut down sports now because people understand the virus more, at least how to combat it and quarantine. But yeah, a death will take it to a different level. And speaking of trying to combat it. Did you see that Louisville? Because they like to be called Louisville.
Louisville.
They dismissed multiple players from their soccer team for planning a party that led to a COVID outbreak among their athletes.
Really?
Now, they suspended some others. Apparently, the athletes that they kicked off the team had some other violations they had committed beforehand, non-COVID related. But they were like, look, we're not messing around. You guys violated an ordinance from the state and directives from the school and the program. You're out of here. So that is, I think you, look, if you, I mean, you may think that's harsh, but I think if you want to survive and have a season, I think I would put suspension and off the team on the table. If you do something like that,
mm-hmm.
and forget about what happened where it was an outbreak among the entire athletic program where they had to shut down athletic activities for like a week. I think they're going to be back on Monday. We'll kick you off the team. You can go find another place to play.
That'll be definitely a deterrent. That's for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we can't kick you out for opting out, and we don't want to. But if you have a party where we told you not to, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might be a way to curb. I don't know if programs have done that because I saw, obviously, I'm locked in on what Miami does. They've discouraged players from doing stuff, but they haven't said, at least they publicly, they didn't tell anyone that they're going to be disciplined. At least they're not telling the papers about that. But if you start telling kids, do something that puts you in harm's way. Not you, maybe a suspension the first time, but we'll kick you off the team. Maybe that's a way to keep it from happening.
67 NFL players opted out.
Yeah.
Now you can't opt back in, and you can't opt out now because it's Friday.
How do they? You can opt out, but you don't get your.
You don't get that
bag.
Yeah.
That COVID thing, the $350,000 for at risk. So at risk, I think it was $350,000 for at risk.
Under limited circumstances, if a player receives a new diagnosis that puts him in the high risk category, or if a player has a family member die or become hospitalized due to COVID,
yeah.
You can opt out now.
So
after.
Yeah. So, but if your significant other gets sick but isn't high risk, you can't opt out. Right? Is that the rule?
Yeah, like, but like who knows? What do you mean high risk?
Like, I mean, like if they have COVID and they have some symptoms. But that they can't opt out.
Or if you have previous, illnesses.
Yeah, but a COVID diagnosis, which leads to a head cold, you can't for someone else in your family, you can't opt out.
Right.
Of that.
The guys that are there want to play. And, the biggest names, C.J. Mosley.
Multiple Patriots.
Damian Williams.
Some Patriots did it.
Dante Hightower.
Yeah, so, yeah. But I think... As long, I know people have, at least people who have sided on there won't be football. I think they're gonna try as hard as they can, clearly. And does baseball give you, now initially people, oh no, what's going on? But outside the Marlins and the Cardinals, nothing, right? I mean, I think Joey Votto thought he had symptoms but didn't even test positive. Mm-hmm. He just self-reported. But outside of those two things, and the Marlins, like you said, are already playing again. I think the Cardinals maybe start back on Monday or maybe even today. I'm not sure. Does this baseball thing, now that it's, 3 weeks in now or so, do you feel better about the chances?
I do. I mean, the Marlins are back. The Cardinals are coming back. What? And again, they tested positive. Oh, my God. They tested positive. Oh, my God. Are you sick? How sick are you?
A couple Marlins were sick, but like just like sick in terms of my head hurts or
right.
I got a head cold or something like that.
I mean, the severity of it is kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
just because you test positive, it's not the end of the world.
Nope.
We don't have to end entire economies because someone tested positive.
Yeah, the one that people point to is the kid in Boston, the 27-year-old who has some heart issues. So certainly it is can be serious for some. But as far as what is going on currently. Marlins are back. Now, I don't know about their sick players when they'll be back, but they're playing again with their replacement players and the rest of their roster. The Cardinals are going to be back. I think sports can, at least baseball, at least initially can say, you can overcome it, even for an outbreak. You can find a way. As long as you're flexible is how you schedule. We talked about earlier that they schedule like 14 doubleheaders to try to make up for the games, and they're trying to get all the Marlins games and all the Cardinals games in. And you can, if you can be adaptable, you can find a way. And then... Unless something awful happens, and
mm-hmm.
then that changes the story.
Mm-hmm. 10:45 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5, the final one of the week. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5. This seems unreasonable to me. A female primary school teacher was fired because she had an affair with her student's dad. It's two consenting adults.
Why is that a problem?
I don't know.
Is affair, that makes it sound like one of them was married? Is that it?
It could well be.
But why would that get you fired?
Yeah.
Breaking
it's
up a marriage.
It's two consenting adults.
Why? I don't understand why that's a fireable offense.
I don't either. That's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. A teacher should be able to have relations with the kid's dad.
I would like more context, but I still haven't been able to find a reason why you should get fired for that. Because if it's a teacher just happens to date the parent's dad, who cares? Yeah. Or even if it's not a date, maybe they just hook up. Who cares? Why is that an issue? Is she giving the kid better grades?
Well, probably. Depends on how good the dad is, all right?
If he's got that weak D, then maybe not.
Yeah.
If he's like Eric Wong, then that kid's getting F's.
Kid gets a D.
Yeah. But why did I get a D?
Because I didn't get one.
Your dad knows.
Because I didn't get one, that's why.
Or she didn't. It was terrible.
Yeah.
You got not only a D, you got a D minus.
D minus.
Because I got a D minus.
Dude. Eating too much rice with your meals could be fatal.
Is there something in rice we don't know about yet?
Experts from two universities have been studying the association between prolonged consumption of low-level arsenic in rice and health problems such as cardiovascular disease. Are you going to stop eating rice?
I don't eat a lot of rice. I only really eat it.
I don't know. How come there's so many Chinese people then? There's a lot of Chinese people eating a lot of rice, I'm pretty sure.
How do I dance around this? I'm not going to even address what you just said. I only really eat rice with sushi, so I don't probably eat it a lot enough to get the poisoning that they're talking about, but I'm not going to stop. I like my rice with my sushi. I like it. Sorry, not doing it. Not stopping.
A Louisiana man claims Ellen DeGeneres bullied him as an 11-year-old.
You talk about soft.
So, Louisiana man Ben Gravolet claims the generous, cruel behavior goes all the way back to when she worked at his mother's New Orleans recruitment agency.
Oh, she wasn't 11. Two?
He was 11.
Okay. They weren't the same age. Okay.
So, DeGeneres worked at his mom's New Orleans recruitment agency in the late 1970s. She would criticize my weight, Gravelet, now a 52-year-old father of three, vice president of a New Orleans marketing agency. I would try to do homework in the office. She called me stupid. She called me fat. She would criticize my clothes. I would dread going to my mom's office to see her after school or on a day if I was sick and Ellen was there.
Maybe she was making jokes. She was a comedian.
And she that ain't funny.
Excuse me.
Question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
Was he fat and stupid? That's the question you have to ask. Because maybe she was just pointing
out
some
things.
Maybe
you should have lost some weight.
I mean, I don't, I'm not in favor of shaming a child, but was she accurate in her criticisms?
Mm-hmm.
Was it bullying or constructive criticism? Did she call you fat or did she say you're overweight?
One incident stands out in my mind. I was sitting beside her desk. I was drawing and she criticized the drawing. She said, I guess that would look nice if you could draw.
See, she's funny. She's funny.
As I watched her meteoric rise to fame, people would say how great she was, and all I could think of was she must be an incredible actor because she was one of the most vile people I've ever met in my life.
Let me figure out, in the 70s.
You could do that to kids, though.
Yeah, but...
You could call them fat.
How old? What year was this again?
She said late 70s.
So Ellen was born in 1958, so she wasn't even 20 years old yet. So she was like college age.
So she.
That's whatever.
She was still a bad person. Yeah. Calling kids fat. I don't know. If the kid was fat, I'm not sure.
Didn't the police come to your house or Frankie's house because she was alleged to be a bullier? Because what was she doing again? Fat shaming, allegedly?
She wasn't. It was a made up story.
If you can miss that story, the police showed up at Frankie's sorority house?
Yeah, no, they called her.
Oh.
But apparently she had a claim. Someone claimed that Frankie was fat shaming.
So she's like
her sisters at the sorority, and it wasn't true.
Happened in Louisiana. Maybe she learned from Ellen.
Maybe she did.
Look, Ellen. Not that it's okay to bully a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 11-year-old. But we're thinking of like Ellen as a grown woman. It's like at the time, at the latest, she was 22. Yeah, 22.
Late '70s.
Late '70s. At the latest, she was 22, 21. So it was like this is like some college age girl bullying some 11-year-old. It's a little different. Not like she was 40 doing it. But apparently she still does it.
Yep. Who amongst us that you work with on a daily basis would do this? Hiding snacks from your kids? You're not alone.
Lance.
It happens all the time.
Lance would steal food from an intern. He would definitely hide snacks.
Oh, there's no question. You know Lance hides his snacks from his kids.
Yeah. Look, I don't even blame him for that because you know how pissed I would be if I had if I had snacks and like, although he does have a child named Snacks. If I had snacks and I came home and they weren't there, look, I've been living alone for most of my adult life, so I don't have those concerns. But if I came home one day and was thinking about, I'm looking forward to coming home to this, and it was gone, I'd be mad.
Hells yeah.
I
buy, if I like it and they like it,
you buy a lot.
You
got to
buy a lot of it.
Yeah, so you don't come home and something's not there. Yeah.
All right. Now, it does piss me off with the milk. Hey, can one of you go to the store and get some milk? I want to eat some cereal.
Yeah, Dad likes his cereal.
Can you go to the store?
I feel that. I would hide snacks.
Apparently, there's an alarming rise in gout cases.
Didn't someone hear
AJ,
have gout?
AJ.
He had gout.
AJ.
And
it's all
disease.
Thanks to big, indulgent appetites. AJ.
He does like some barbecue. Does barbecue cause gout?
I think he likes a lot of different stuff.
What causes gout?
A lot of alcohol does.
Well, we know about that.
Yep. Oh, probably his international beers. That's probably does it.
Yeah, it's not.
You're not if you drink Coors Light. You don't.
Yeah.
Get
so
it.
He does.
Thank you.
He probably
another reason. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing.
AJ, I think he eats a lot of rich, not like rich in money, but rich foods.
Rich foods,
and then he drinks a lot.
Do you have the devil? Do you have that?
Is that what you just sent me?
Yeah, I sent you. I want to hear
seconds.
The devil. So a guy claims he has heard the actual devil. In the meantime...
You mean Tom Brady?
No. In the meantime, Jennifer Grey is going to be in a new Dirty Dancing movie. Are you going to watch it?
Who cares?
Is Jennifer Grey done anything in her life since that?
She's done, like, movies that no one cares about. She's been in a couple TV shows, but no one cares.
No. She really has? I haven't seen her since she was baby.
There weren't TV shows or movies that hit big, but she's been in some stuff. I've seen it.
You have?
Yeah, because I take interest in what those stars from major things who don't really do anything else. I like to see how to try to get their career started. Like I would watch an episode of a Jason Alexander show just to see if it was any good, just because he was George. They weren't good.
Do you have the devil or no?
I have it pulled up. I'm waiting for our computer to allow me to play it.
I want to hear what the devil sounds like. This guy says that he heard the devil.
The start of the article says Christian author Roderick Millington claims he has recorded the first ever audio of the voice of Satan. And we're not.
What's up?
Maybe because I have ad blocker on.
All right, try. And we'll do it after I tell you everybody about CBD oil. Listen. The American Shaman is awesome. I love it, you guys. I've been taking it. I didn't even know what CBD oil was before this. But this is, it's not like, you can rub it on your places and whatnot. This stuff I drink, it's water soluble. So, oil and water don't mix. We know that. Well, this does because it's water soluble, which makes American Shaman CBD oil different than every other. Okay. Locally owned and operated. There are 30 some stores in our area. You will find one. If you've got joint pain, migraine, stiffness, inflammation, anxiety, it does. It helps with calmness, relaxation. You can relieve everyday stress. You can relieve your pets. When you go there, you're going to see, wow, you got all kinds of stuff for pets here. Yeah. The pets love the CBD oil because it does. If you've got a hyperactive animal, then guess what? This stuff could actually help them. You can sleep better, healthier immune system. It's the best of nature enhanced by science. From Katy to Beaumont, Conroe to Galveston, all points in between. ShopCBDTX.com. ShopCBDTX.com. TX.com. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. For your well-being, I do. I take it. I like it. I love it. If you're looking for a great way to relax more, sleep better, shop CBDTX.com.
Unfortunately, this website is trash.
It is.
It takes forever. But it's meta-speech.co.uk. So if you want to hear it, meta-speech.co.uk. Some guy thinks he heard the devil.
I've heard the devil. It's outside. It's Joel, and they want to come in. Ooh. So we're leaving right here. Well, you all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.